Well, first of all, I have to ask you, how right were you for the last 3 months?
Not as good as I'd like to be, because it's been wetter than I thought it was going to be.
However, we always learn. And so what were the factors that perhaps were stronger in influencing rainfall than you thought they would?
I believe it comes down to the position of Venus this winter. Venus was closest to Earth during winter, and I didn't think that it would have enough energy to lift our rainfall to the degree that it did, because we were building into a El Nino situation, and I thought the El Nino would be the dominant issue and would keep the moisture out of Australia predominantly.
Okay, so El Nino's been building, but that might have turned the corner?
Yes, I've been watching it carefully over the last fortnight, 3 weeks, and there is some cold water starting to show up over near South America on the equator, which is the early signs of the development of the next La Nina, I believe.
So even though there's still a reasonable amount of warm air in that sort of South Mexico, Central America area, sorry, warm water, I should say, you reckon just those little specks of blue is enough to say it might be turning?
Yes, I do.
Okay. No worries. Now, that's just one indicator. I'm really interested in your views on, call it the lunar tide and the effect that even the sun can have on sort of the atmosphere and the amount of moisture in it.
Yes, well, this year has been a classic year where you can see these air tides working very consistently. And you might take you back to March, February, March. At that stage, we had a very strong rain period, and that was the northeast air tides coming in, bringing moisture out of the Pacific into Queensland, New South Wales and down into Victoria. And you'll notice that we then went through about a two-month period where we had very little rain in late March, April, May. And then the next band of rain came in from the south, because on the 4th of June, Gippsland had its biggest rainfall of this two-year lunar flood cycle, that I call it. And they nearly got washed off the face of the earth at that stage. Now, that moisture that was occurring in Gippsland occurred when the moon was fully north in its orbit and when it was with the sun. So a new moon with the moon low in the sky in the north, and that drags it up from the south. Now, that position slowly changes, and at the moment we're going to the transition phase where the moon and the sun is together on the equator, and it's moving south, right? The position is moving south. In the next 2-3 months, that position will carry on moving south, and eventually the moon and the sun will be together when the moon is fully south, and that then promotes the northeastern air tides. So that will finish up in our area here, producing big thunderstorms in the middle of November and the middle of December.
Harvest time again.
Yes.
So, in some ways, I'm really intrigued. How certain can you be that these indicators will be where they are? For example, you said the influence of Venus might have been stronger this year than you anticipated. So really, they're all factors, but just like all weather forecasting, there's always a bit of room for error.
Yes, it's pull and tug from all directions, and it's a matter of the sea surface temperatures as to just which ones are going to be dominant at a particular time.
Now, another factor that you've identified, which seems to have played a role in the last 10 years or so, you call the Chinese effect, and that is the heat that, and I guess the carbon emissions and whatever, but is creating really quite interesting sort of mega influences from the southeast China.
Yes, particle pollution, not carbon dioxide pollution.
Yeah.
And particle pollution coming from the great amount of industry and fires which are being burnt in Indonesia keep producing a smog blanket which travels to the east of Indonesia, South China Sea area, and keeps that area north of New Guinea warmer than it would be. And that holds the monsoon trough up in that area for another 3 or 4 weeks longer than it would normally be.
So in fact that's a northern Australia indicator as much as a southern one.
That's right.
Now, the other thing too, and you can tell me this because I haven't looked, but rain bands that have been coming through, I get a feeling they haven't pushed much further north than Bendigo this year either.
No, because during winter it's been a southern air tide driven situation, so most of the rain was deposited south of Divide. It's only a bit of a fizzover effect that we got on 2 or 3 occasions, which really gave us our winter rain. You might look at the maximum amount of rain on any one day that fell during winter, and you'll find that in June it was 30 millimetres or 33 millimetres in Bendigo. In July it was 16 millimetres on any one day, And this present month, it's only 9 millimetres.
So that's quite an interesting declining line on a graph, isn't it?
That's right. That just indicates the strength of the systems.
All right. So, in fact, we're going to see that line continue to drop down, so maximum rainfall through September, October will continue to fall, will it?
That's right. I believe you'll see September rainfall another 20 or 30% less than what this month has been.
And right through till November, when you say that it'll get a bit thundery.
It'll get very thundery in November, I believe.
All right. Interesting stuff indeed. And I suppose that it's kind of interesting because planning any agricultural activity on a weather forecast season by season can help, but it still must be quite frustrating for you to see that, you know, with that rain that fell in June, July, we've had some reasonably good growth, but you're perhaps expecting it's not going to be the best finish to the season now.
No, and as you said, the rainfall was mainly in the Bendigo to southern area. Most of the grain belt is really desperate for rain at the moment.
Sometimes we fluke a rainfall coming through from the northwest or something. Any chance?
Yeah, a small chance.
Again, we're always talking about percentages, aren't we, Kevin? So, all right, then we've talked about the air tides, we've talked about the influence of the sun, and, you know, just to be a bit facetious about that, we've seen, for example, this morning that beautiful sunset, that moon set. That's because the sun was shining from the east onto the moon in the west, so they were at opposite ends of the globe, if you like.
That's right, and they're pulling in opposite directions, so we don't have a strong air tide at the moment.
Okay, and some of the other things that you talk about, what's happening to warm water in the Indian Ocean, is that also not a very strong influence at the moment?
Jonathan holds a sea temperature graph in front of him, and he will see that there are big areas of cold water to the northwest of Australia at the moment, and that's been there ever since about mid-March, and that's really what shut down our rain system mid-March.
So that's between the Indonesian archipelago and northwest Australia?
Yes.
Okay. And the other one you talk about, the MJO.
Yeah, the MJO during the dry period in late autumn was indeterminate for about 8 weeks, I believe, by memory. In the last 2 or 3 months, it's been circulating around quite well and had quite a bit of strength. And if its timing is right with the weather systems, it usually enhances our weather.
Okay. And the final one, La Nina and El Nino. You mentioned that briefly at the beginning of the interview. Where do you think the trend is going to be, I suppose, not just for the next 2 months, but perhaps over the next six?
Yes. Look, the early signs are showing up on the sea temperature maps at the moment. If you have a look on my website and look for the sea surface temperatures, you'll see little blue dots occurring along the equator over near South America. I think we've seen the peak of this current El Nino system, and by Christmas we'll be back into neutral, and I think we'll have a well-developed system by next winter. So we should see a very good autumn break and winter rainfall next year.
Okay, well, that's one positive, but do you believe that trend of a drier winter and spring might continue next year as well?
No, I'm
throwing
prepared.
You now a year ahead rather than just a couple of months, so it's probably a bit unfair, but go on, have a punt.
Look, as I said, it depends on the sea surface temperatures and how they develop.
Yeah.
And look, I make this comment, there's been a lot of discussions about the PDO being positive and negative. When the PDO is in its warming phase, as it was between 1970 and 2000, the La Nina parts of the cycle are weakened and the El Nino parts are strengthened. So we end up with lower rainfall, and that's what the trend has been over the last 4 decades. In the future, that is now in the cooling phase, and we're seeing this show up in our world temperatures at the moment. The El Nino parts are weakened and the La Nina parts are strengthened. So we might have, out of 4.5 years of a cycle, we might have 18 months of El Nino type conditions and 2.5 years of La Nina. So okay. Hence the world's temperature comes down.
All right, well, we'll see where it all goes. And, of course, then we haven't even mentioned carbon dioxide levels, but that might have to be for another conversation, Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us, and find out more detail and see some of those maps you're talking about at thelongview.com.
.au.
.au. Thanks so much for joining us.